Barbara Turley, and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV, the show that uncovers the diamond tips on creating truly conscious wealth from change makers, world shakers, and wealth creators. So I'm joined on the show today by a very inspiring woman, Marina Pasalaras, who is the founder of Beautiful Minds Australia and author of the book by the same name, Beautiful Minds. She's also a speaker and an awesome change maker. So we're here today to take a deep dive inside the minds of our teenage girls to see how do they feel about money, business, and wealth. Marina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you. It's really great to be part of it.
Great. Well, look, as always, I love to start the show with a little story about how I met my guest and why I chose him for the show. So Marina and I, you'll remember this story.
Very clearly.
So Marina and I met, it was a couple of years ago, and I was actually working on another business with another friend of mine. And she had said to me, I've met this amazing girl and she's written this fabulous book and I really think we should interview her and maybe bring her into this business a little bit. So she wanted me to meet Marina. So it was a Sunday and it was really wet.
Freezing cold.
Freezing cold, spilling rain, and we live in Sydney, Australia, so it really shouldn't be like that. So I rock into this cafe and I meet this girl and she is honestly open-faced, the most authentic woman I think I've ever met and just the most inspiring message. And I just loved what you were about. So I just thought it'd be a great thing to have on the show.
Thank you.
Yes. So to kick things off, tell us a bit about Beautiful Minds and the whole concept and the work that you do.
So I started Beautiful Minds 80 years ago, and it was originally started in Queensland, where I was based at the time. And for me, my journey up to then had been working in modelling agencies. And although I loved it, I'd spent 14 years in this incredibly, incredibly superficial, glamorous world.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And the biggest problem that I had with it was that my role was to actually educate the models and to get them up to speed for all the castings with all the clients. Mm. But we weren't teaching them anything about who they were as an individual.
Oh, yes, of course.
And so I had all these young, beautiful models coming to me with a number of different issues. So, whether it was their self-esteem, their body issues, they were taking drugs,
eating
disorders, all that sort of stuff. And for me, I just needed to get out of this environment that I was starting to really class as quite toxic. And to start something that I felt I could give all the years of education that I had been passing on already, but to twist it so that I actually could help and make a bit of a change in girls' lives. Because I realized that when you get to have a 13 or 14 year old girl in front of you, it's at such a vital point in their lives where you have a direct impact on what path they take.
Everything they do thereafter.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's such a pivotal time in their lives.
It is.
Tell me, did the passion for potentially mentoring the minds of teenage girls, did it come from anything further back than that for your own life or anything in your own story there?
Yeah, look, I've always had that. I was a boarder from a very young age and my parents lived quite far away. So I started boarding school when I was 11 and I was always the girl from a very young age that everyone would come to and talk to.
Oh, for some help for it, yeah.
Absolutely. And so I always actually thought I'd get into psychology or counselling. Yeah. So I've always had that in me.
Isn't it interesting now that you kind of have ended up, not in psychology, but you do bring psychologists into your course now,
absolutely,
don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And over the years, how has the course sort of evolved? You've been in this course now for 8 years. How has it evolved in terms of, have you seen changes in what you need to bring in order to deal with some of the issues the girls are facing today as opposed to what they were?
I just love the whole growth of business in general because when you do start, in one very sort of set format and then you're stuck in your little niche. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for me, for Beautiful Minds, what's changed a lot is the modules that we do.
Yeah.
So when we started 8 years ago, we never ever spoke about social media. It wasn't
Facebook was 2007,
when it was just sort of starting to take on, but girls didn't really know about it and kind of get involved in it at all. So that's been added into the program. We've definitely added in a lot more with body issues as well.
Yeah.
Because it's such a big issue. So we really, we started with a very small module, whereas now they actually work with a nutritionist and then work with a psychologist and then work with a positive mind expert as well. So they've got three amazing people on board helping them with how they see themselves as a young girl. And we've introduced money which seemed really exciting.
Yes, of course, I'm very excited about that topic and the fact that you've done that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, for girls, you know, the next generation of girls, what, you know, are they, how are they evolving? Is it for better or worse? Because some of the things you see out there, I mean, our girls are just, you know, getting drunk, you know, ending up in, you know, social media in the wrong place, for example, etc. I'm sure it's the same as when we were teenagers, but, you know, we always think the next generation are worse than us.
I think they're getting worse, personally.
Well, I feel that myself, but I didn't want to say, put words in your mouth with that, so it is interesting to see what we're doing there with that.
I think it's getting worse. You know, I think our young girls don't have enough positive role models. There's not enough positive media that they're seeing on an ongoing basis. And the other thing that's happening as well is social media really is having a huge impact on their lives. They just, you know, they're 24 hours a day, they've got access to world news. And one thing that I'm hearing a lot from my teen girls is that they're actually quite fearful. There's a lot of anxiety.
Gosh, even I'm fearful with some of the stuff that's going on, so I can imagine how they feel.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think they need more support now than they've ever needed before.
It's interesting, you know, because Sheryl Sandberg, who's the CEO of Facebook, and she's creator of the Lean In organization, she's been all over social media the last few days talking about, because normally she's talking about our female leaders, she's now talking about our girls, and what are we doing to create the right environments for our future female visionaries. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Like, are we doing enough?
We're definitely not. I still think that there's this push-pull, you know, parents leave it up to the school, the school leaves it up to the parents. Most parents are unfortunately divorced. Many of my girls, you know, we train thousands of girls every year. There's probably 85% of those girls do not come from, you know,
the traditional family unit.
Exactly. So our girls are actually not learning anything from anybody. And we're just expecting from generation to generation that because we were taught table manners,
that they will be.
And you can't assume that.
Because nobody's actually teaching that.
No, and that's a ripple effect on all the subjects that we teach. So our girls are really, really lost. And when they want to know information as a 13 and 14 year old girl, they hop onto Google.
And then they can get all the wrong. And I mean, they get lots of information, but who knows what.
Exactly.
I mean, I know I personally, you know, I'm a big believer in education. And I love the work that you're doing, because the only way that we are going to affect change is to get, I mean, this is not for just girls, but boys as well, and get them younger. And if you're bringing girls into your courses at age 11, which is such a pivotal time in their lives, and then taking them through often right up to 16 and 17. It's amazing stuff. So, look, I want to talk, obviously, about the topic of money. So, you know, I'm delighted that this topic has been introduced to your course. But I want to, like, what was the decision, or where did it come to that you made the decision to introduce money as a topic?
I think as a business owner, you start a business and you make a lot of mistakes along the way. And then you look at it and you stand back and you go, you know what, I'm in my late 20s and early 30s whilst I'm making these mistakes. Why did no one teach me at school? And I went to one of the top private schools in South Africa. And what blows my brain is that I can leave year 12 or matric, is what we would call it, and I would know exactly how to dissect a frog. But I had no idea how to start a small business.
Or to read a balance sheet.
No.
I know, yeah.
And I had no idea what good debt and bad debt was. And you're just basic.
So you end up actually often in lots of debt, because this happens to a lot of people. They leave school, they get credit cards, and before they know it, it's free money. And then at age 30, you're stuck in a hole.
Absolutely. And I'm very passionate about actually changing the education system in the fact that Don't talk to me about science and things. You know, that's fine if you want to choose it as a subject, but let's have a full-on discussion about business and money, because girls are brought up to be terrified about money. They don't talk about it. They think it's bad. They think, you know, if you want it, it's a bad thing. And I really want to change that, even with the girls that, you know, that come to contact.
Well, I love that, because I know one of my own missions as well is obviously I want to change the feelings that women have about money and wealth. I want them to embrace it more. But now I'm starting to think about this idea of actually taking that a bit younger and just thinking about stuff we can do together down the track. And to change that, I'm very passionate about that too. But I'm interested to know, so when you introduced money, what was the reaction of the girls and, of course, the parents?
It was funny. You know, I had a lot of parents contacting me prior to courses saying, I don't think she's, you know, interested in the money side. So, you know, maybe maybe yeah. she could miss that class. Or and I had to Isn't really change the yeah. thought process of a lot of parents. And I said to a lot of them, do you not think it's your daughter's right to understand how to read a basic bank statement? Do you not think that as a girl, she needs to have control over her finances from a very young age?
Mm.
But it's the parents' thought process around money, which then spills into the girls.
See, that I wasn't expecting that answer, actually. I was thinking maybe that the girls were saying, oh, it's because I was thinking that they would think it's not exciting enough, that they want to do more of the styling and the makeup and the etiquette and stuff like that. That's a bit more fun.
Mm.
But that's very, it's actually kind of sad to think the parents.
Yeah, there were a few parents that didn't, you know, kind of embrace it fully. And then there were some amazing parents who I get emails from who would say, this is incredible. Thank you so much for doing this. And with the girls, you know, the parents tend to sign the girls up. So the girls don't really know in depth exactly what they're doing until the moment that they're doing it.
And when you're doing the talk on money or the section on money, how do the girls react then?
They love it. They absolutely love it because, you know, they have these real aha moments. Mm. And one of the biggest moments for them is when we actually show them. So when my educator actually stands up and shows them what compound saving is. So if you start saving $1 a day from the age of 16, right the way up to 65, how much money accumulated with interest you can actually have in the bank. And they are horrified.
Do you think actually, do they understand the importance of them having that much money themselves?
Absolutely.
Because of course, a man is not a plan, as they say. You know, and I'm hoping that the next generation are starting to realize that even if you do marry well, and you marry a man that does earn a lot of money or has a lot of wealth, it's very important for women to have their own wealth, I think.
I think, you know, I always do that class with the educator because I always start out and tell them that I'm almost 37 and I am very happily single. I choose to be single because my mission is the business and it's something that takes up an enormous amount of time for me. Everything that I've purchased, you know, properties, car, lifestyle, I have supplied.
Yes, for yourself.
For myself. And so I try and be that role model for them where I say to them, you know, if you want to have choice in life with what you do and the holidays that you take and the things that you can purchase and the healthcare that you can afford.
The life you want to live and the legacy you want to leave.
Absolutely. Then you need to have control over it 100% for yourself. So I try and, you know, I have such a great relationship with them by that stage. We've spent so much time together that I hope I'm a little bit of a role model for them.
Mm. What do you think success looks like for our teen girls? Because I often think, does success look like for them, I've got 3 million followers on Twitter and I'm, you know, I'm famous on YouTube. And what does success actually look like for them, do you think?
I think for a lot of young girls, there is definitely that because there seems to be this feeling that if you've got X amount of followers, then you are loved or you are supported successful, by a community or successful in whatever you do. I really am hoping that young girls will start to see success as a way that they can provide for themselves. That would be my idea of success for a young person.
Yeah, and hopefully you can try and infiltrate that thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Marina, can you share any amazing success stories of some of the girls that have blossomed through your course and sort of gone on to do fabulous things?
There are so many
over
the 8 years, but I have got three that probably are the closest to my heart. Last year I attended one of my students' wedding, which was so incredibly special. And
how old is she? She was a child for high school.
She was, I think she was about 15 when she came and did it. She was one of the first students.
Yes.
And I actually ended up doing her wedding makeup and attending the wedding, which was really, really special. And one of the other students that I had when she was really young, she was about 12, she came to me after almost losing her life to anorexia.
Oh,
and
God.
She has gone on to be the most incredible human being. And she now educates. She comes back and talks to the girls about her journey and what she went through. And she's studying nursing, which is fantastic.
Oh, isn't that fantastic?
And the third one is actually a young girl that the government sent me in Queensland. I don't know if you remember years ago, the Spotlight building burned down on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, yes.
It was just before Christmas and it was really horrific. Everyone, you know, had nowhere to go and lost their jobs. And the young boy that lit the fire was 13 years of age.
Gosh.
And I got a call the next morning, and they said to me, look, his girlfriend is also 13. They said to me, look, you're doing a Beautiful Minds course in the December school holidays. Can we send her along? Now, this is a 13-year-old girl who had no family. She was living in foster care. She had a boyfriend that was being sent off to juvenile sort of young court. She felt pregnant as well. She was pregnant and was beat up so badly by this youngster's father that she lost the baby. So, I mean, there was just tragedy after tragedy. And when you looked at this young girl's life, she was also doing drugs. Mm. So there was no kind of way for her to go, you know, you wouldn't think for her anywhere to move forward. Mm. And normally Beautiful Minds doesn't attract kids.
Yeah, because like that feels to me like it's a different... That's a different subset of
absolutely. You know, Beautiful Minds is normally more private school. Girls tend to come through, unfortunately, because of the price.
Yeah.
But she came and did it, and I spent an enormous amount of time with her. At that stage, we were doing a 10-week course, so we'd come once a week, and I would drop her off at her foster family, and we became very close. And a couple of months ago, I was on Sunshine Coast for business, and I heard this young girl call out Marina. I turned around. And she said to me, it's me.
Yeah.
And I would never have recognized her. And I get quite emotional.
I was just wondering, but this must have been so emotional for you.
She just said to me, I did your course. And she said, I just wanted to tell you that you saved my life.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Thank you. That's why your vision is so strong.
Yeah. And she was at university. She was studying. She was in a serious relationship. And she said to me, she said, you know, Marina, you were the only person that believed
I could be something different. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that, as well, I mean, I know you've obviously got big plans for your business. Have you seen that, you know, you want to serve more? I mean, do you want to serve more of those kinds of girls as well? You don't want them to be excluded because of the price.
Of course I don't. And that's where I've learned a lot with business as well, that you have to start at a point. And I needed to start at a point where we could, you know, make money, build the business, market it, and
get create a concept as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And now that concept has been created and has been successful, I've sat back and I've gone, it's all very well that we're doing these courses all over Australia, but only that percentage of people can actually have access to it.
Mm.
Whereas now, if we put it online and we make it very accessible for young girls to do, then we do the one-day event all over Australia, and that is really, really affordable. Mm. And then we have a couple of boutique retreats here and there.
Mm.
And then looking at three different tiers in the marketplace. And that's really exciting for me.
I think I need to make a call to the government to be more involved.
Barbara,
the government needs to.
If anyone from the government is listening, we need more of this out there.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think it's such an important time in these girls' lives. And, you know, women like you, and hopefully myself now, meeting you and doing some work together, that we can really change this. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I want to go back to what you said about, you know, how girls are being brought up with the attitudes they have to money. Because recently, ANZ here in Australia did a survey, and what the survey found, it was a money confidence survey.
Mm-hmm.
And what the survey found was that obviously, I mean, men are more confident about money than women. I wasn't really surprised by that. But I was very surprised to find that men have twice the amount of savings that women do.
That's amazing.
Despite the fact that women tend to value security more than men. And men take more risks and things like that.
Mm.
So I'm actually wondering where, and I've asked some of the other guests I've had on the show about this actually, where is it coming from? And do you think girls and boys are being brought up with different attitudes to money? And if so, what do you think they are?
I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming directly from the media. Because I have a real problem with the fact that if there is a sports card ad,
it's got a man.
There is a landlord.
And usually a beautiful girl in the passenger seat.
And there's a handbag sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Exactly. If there is a, you know, home loan, there's a man. There's not enough ads out there where women are looking powerful and making decisions based on money.
Yes.
But they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. And also are also feminine and beautiful. Because I think sometimes as women, the media tries to portray powerful women as very masculine.
Absolutely.
That's a total turnoff for all of us women. I mean, who wants to be
masculine woman? And bitchy.
And bitchy.
And I'm telling you one thing, I'm neither of those.
No.
So it,
and most
you're
of us
not
are
either. So
you know, Yeah, I don't know why they do that. Yeah. But I think what our girls are seeing is unfortunately a lot of this. And you're right, through social media as well. Mm. There's a lot of that coming.
We still just need to kind of twist the roles a little bit and let our girls just understand that, you know, you can go out there and be in a loving relationship and have beautiful babies and create a great life for yourself. Mm. But you can also be in control of your money, and you can make the decision to buy great things for yourself.
Yeah,
and there's such an achievement when you buy something, and I know you feel the same way. You know, when you buy something and you've purchased it and you've worked really hard for it,
it's a different feeling.
It's a very different feeling.
But yeah, I do think as women, I mean, what's interesting to me though is women, and I'm saying women here, but I suppose our girls are coming up into this. We don't have a problem marrying it or divorcing it.
No.
But yet we seem to have this block with making our own, or it being our own drive towards that. And I'm wondering what more, I mean, is it just social media or the media, or what more can we be doing? I mean, obviously more of your course out there would be fantastic.
Our parents don't, I've come from an incredibly entrepreneurial family. Mm. My parents, as far back as I can remember, we would all sit down in the breezeway, which was this beautiful little room in the front of the house, and we'd have a cup of tea at the end of the day, and we'd find out about each other's days. But one thing my folks always did around my sister and I from a very young age was to talk about money.
That's so unusual.
And my mother was very, very, very high up in my dad's business. She was running a division of it. And they would always talk about accumulating property and what they were going to do together and how they were going to grow the family.
And in an exciting way, even your body language.
Yeah, and we would, as kids, be taken on drives around town to be shown what properties they were going to go. And so there was, money was never dirty.
Mm.
Money was something that mum and dad did together.
Yeah.
And there was always this really cool business attitude from a very young age.
That's what made it exciting for you, actually.
It was a game.
It was a game, and that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Money is a game, and it's
like
a fun game
with you know, with real.
But I think lots of us are brought up with you know, parents fighting about money, financial strain. Unfortunately, I think, you know, kids take on that, of course
they do.
And I think another thing that's probably an issue for girls is if this is a generalization, but if you have couples or marriages where the father is very controlling of the money.
Yeah,
and the mother doesn't really have any control there. As girls, I think you're watching that.
Mm.
And you're equating money then with control, or lack of money with lack of control, things like that.
So this is where education comes in. Mm. So your incredible program on financial success, you know, if people can get those into their hands, and they can have that access to that, and schools can talk about it, and, you know, Beautiful Minds is just about to go online soon, so people will be able to buy the course at the end of the year. It's just trying to get as much, you know, information into our kids' hands as possible.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit now about your business and your entrepreneurial journey. As we know, I know from speaking to you that it's like all entrepreneurial journeys, it's been interesting.
Yes, it's been
a journey. So what would you say, what have been the greatest learnings for you in launching your own business and having this journey?
For me, I think the greatest thing would be just being open to change.
Yeah.
You know, you start a business a certain way and losing the control. Because when I first started, I had this real tight hold over how it was going to be, and I wanted to control it. And through the control, there was no growth. But as soon as I kind of relinquished that, now I've got 60 educators on board Australia-wide, and there are a lot of courses that I don't attend and a lot of workshops that I'm, you know, unable to get to. So it's just loosening that control and letting people stand and deliver your program for you.
Yeah, and can actually grow. Because I know something I'm very passionate about, I talk about it in my program and in a lot of my interviews, and you know I'm passionate about this, is about getting the business model right.
Absolutely.
In a business is so important, but it's also getting a business model that is in alignment with your personal vision and also your business vision, because they have to be in alignment together to make it work for you.
Mm.
And of course that involves, you know, streamlining, systemizing things, and using leverage.
Sure.
So I'm interested, I know recently you've been changing your business model a little bit. Yeah, quite a lot.
Mm.
And introducing more leverage. Mm. Where did the decision come from to do that?
I've gotten to a point with my business where, you know, twice a month I was flying all over the show trying to deliver courses, and I really had to sit back and think, So this is the business module that we've had to date, and it's been very successful, but things needed to change. And for me, a couple of things happened. You know, I had a business in Queensland that pretty much just copied and pasted everything that we did. So it was a real rip-off course.
Of course, that's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's, you know, unfortunately, the more successful you become, the more people will copy what you're doing. And I refuse to be doing anything that is similar to you know, to what someone else is going to be doing. But also society's changed. So for me, you know, taking the course online at the end of the year so that it is then open to an international market was something that I'm very passionate about about doing. And we're going to get to a stage with Beautiful Minds in 2015 that we actually won't run the smaller courses. If you want to have that amazing interaction with all the educators, you do it at home.
Yeah, of course, you can reach more teens that way.
Teens, and then what we'll actually do is we'll do the Beautiful Minds Inspire events Australia-wide.
So and will those be big events?
They're huge events. So we're looking at the first one.
The teens will love that. All girls?
All girls.
Oh, wow.
The first one actually is in Sydney, in Paddington, the Paddington Town Hall in September this year. And we've got 550 teen girls attending that. So that's going to be the first one.
Oh, wow.
One.
That's going to be like...
That's going to be amazing.
I guess they'll just laugh.
Look,
it's so much fun.
It's going to be... They've got dancers, they've got performers, they've got DJs, they've got guest speakers. There are a number of celebrities that have put their hand up and said, I want to be involved in this. I want to help spread a positive word and be a positive role model for teen girls. So the aim is to actually do that and have it as a bit of a roadshow. So we'll take that around Australia. And every year, a different capital city will have a Beautiful Minds show come to town.
Will there be each city will have one every year?
Each city will have one every year.
So we'll do six events.
So we'll do Perth, Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane, and either Cairns or Townsville. We're just working that out.
And what about internationally? Would you,
on the bucket list.
As a savvy femtrepreneur, as I've been calling all my guests, the future, what does the future hold for Beautiful Minds and Marina Passalaros? Is it an international audience?
Absolutely. I never think of business as I live in Sydney, and so it is confined to Sydney. And I think I've proved this over the last 8 years with running Beautiful Minds in 8 locations around Australia. I sort of feel that I've done my time, I've done my foundation work. I've got another sort of year and a half up my sleeve, and then it's the US. Definitely.
And then your digital program will be ready by the end of the year?
Digital program will be ready at the end of the year. My book is obviously sold internationally, so we're already just starting to get out internationally. But definitely I'd like to actually host Beautiful Minds Inspire events for teen girls around the world. I think that would be
absolutely amazing. And look, Marina, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show today. And our viewers, because there's going to be some international viewers here today as well, if they want to find out more about the amazing work that you do and sort of start to follow you, so when that digital stuff does come online and they have some teen girls they know, how can they follow you? How can they find you?
Best thing is, I love my social media, so we're everywhere. Best thing is to jump onto the Beautiful Minds website, which is just beautifulminds.com.au. And then you can actually follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and Pinterest.
Brilliant.
As well as the YouTube channel.
It's been an absolute joy having you on the show. And I'm so glad that you came on the show, because this is a topic that is close to my heart. And it's just great to see the work that you're actually doing for our teen girls.
Thank you.
I would encourage everybody out there to support Marina, because it's such a big mission, this one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to everyone for watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV today. Remember that you can catch me later this week on my podcast, Wealth Unplugged, where I'm going to be taking some of my key takeouts from my chat with Marina today and telling some stories about what I think about today's show. Also remember to join me next week when I'm going to be joined by Lisa and Kay from The Clinic here in Sydney. And we're going to be talking about the business of beauty. It's a booming but tricky business.